Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Power of Blue call. This is the call that part of your 20-week program that includes training and coaching focused on your business growth. And our goal is to create a business progression plan, find your blogs, identify your ideal clients, the language around them, build your community systems, and other things that can help you become more successful, be expert within your business, and get better at sales and become more profitable. So our expert calls bring business insight and challenges that affect your success and give you direction, strategies, and input to your business so that you can grow and be prosperous in your business. I'm your host, Barb Schulmer. I'm the owner of Blitz Business Success, an entrepreneur, an author, speaker, teacher, TV show host, and business growth mentor. And my job is to inspire you to reach your biggest dreams. So you're here today because you're an entrepreneur looking for answers on how to become more profitable and grow your business without giving up more time with your family or doing things while you don't have the money. And this is a big challenge for a lot of people who are in business. The time and the money is always a component of why you can't grow. And yet there are all kinds of people who are capable of growing the business. And I want to bring that kind of insight to you in a variety of different manners and with the experts that I have. So today I'm so happy that you could join us because my special guest is Suzanne Hammett. And her topic is going to be battling burnout with an abundant mindset, which is huge. I mean, we go into such a small place when we're in a burnout space, so I can't wait to hear the insight that you have on this, Suzanne. Thank you so much for joining us. So let me introduce Suzanne so you know why she's an expert and what she has to say is so valuable, and then we'll get into our conversation around battling burnout with an abundant mindset. So Suzanne Hammett has been a successful independent entrepreneur for over 15 years. She has been trained by Jack Canfield, America's success coach and co-author of the popular Chicken Soup for the Soul book series, and has handpicked for his trainer program in 2000. So you were handpicked for his trainer program in 2012. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, Suzanne is also trained by Suzanne Evans, who is an incredible coach as well. Suzanne is passionate about sharing her experience and skills by coaching others on how to achieve success, balance, and fulfillment in their lives and their business. She helps her clients clarify their dreams and transform them into achievable and inspiring goals so they can move forward with clarity, confidence, and purpose. With Suzanne's help, they get more clients, make more money, and have a lot more fun in everything they do. Suzanne is also a certified second-degree Reiki channel and certified horse trainer and has been nominated for Network of the Year in her BNI chapter for 4 years in a row. When not engaged in empowering her clients, Suzanne spends time with her other passions, training horses, and spending time with her family and your beautiful girls as well, right?
Yeah, thank you.
So thank you so much for joining us. And wow, you've done a lot over the years in business. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about why you do what you do and what kind of dragged you in this direction?
Well, a number of years ago, I was morbidly obese and clinically depressed. And it was because I was trying to live someone else's dreams, someone else's values, what someone else thought that I should be doing. And so I began a journey of kind of self-discovery, what I call, you know, trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. And I did a lot of tests and exploration. I went to the local college, and I had them give me every aptitude vocational test that they could throw at me. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what was important to me, what was I good at. And I ended up taking some courses in web design. And when I'd finished my courses and I was ready to go out and get a job in web design, there were no jobs. Nobody wanted to hire me. And I, you know, had gone through all this schooling and I decided, well, this is what all these courses told me that I should be doing. This is what is going to, you know, make me happy and bring me fulfillment. So if nobody's going to hire me, I'm just going to start my own business. And that's what I did. And through the course of doing that business, I worked with a lot of small business people, entrepreneurs that would come to me to have a website designed and an online marketing strategy implemented, and they didn't know who their target market was. They didn't know what their values were. Some of them didn't have a business plan. Some of them didn't even have business cards. And so I'd end up coaching them informally before we ever got talking about their website. And I realized that I loved doing that. I loved helping these people. I loved talking to them. I loved finding out who they really were and what was really important to them. And at the same time, I started to do my own work to, you know, continue to figure that out for myself as well. And that's what led me to Jack Canfield.
Very cool. And you and I have had a very similar background in that aspect. And we've talked about this before. And just spending time with business owners and then realizing, wow, this is exactly what I love to do all the time. I wish this was a bigger part of what I did every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool. So tell me a little bit, have you ever had the, well, actually, before I get into that question, let me ask you to define what burnout is so that we start with a level playing field for everybody's understanding.
Sure. Well, I really feel that burnout is a result of people working in conflict with their core values. I used to work in corporate Toronto, and, you know, when you're working for someone else, you're told what to do, you're told how to do it, and sometimes that ends up being in conflict with your core values. For instance, I left a job in one of the big CA firms in downtown Toronto. I'd been there for 5 years, and I left that job with 2 weeks' notice when they told me that I had to kind of nurture and train a new supervisor that they were appointing that really didn't deserve the job. She wasn't qualified. She wasn't going to know what she was doing. And she was going to be supervisor over people that had been there like 12 and 14 years. And I was told that it was my job to sell the idea to these people and train her to make her look good. And it just completely went against my values. And I was kind of, you know, bordering on burning out at that point already, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I said, no, I won't do it. And I gave my resignation. But had I stayed, which many people do, had I stayed, I would definitely have been working against my core values and I would have burned out. So, you know, just the contrast to that, just so that you understand what that looks like, when you feel really good about yourself and the value of the work that you do, you have the capacity to work really hard and tirelessly. You know, if this was something, if they'd come to me and said, you know, we're implementing this new program and it's going to really, you know, appreciate the people that have been working here for a long time and have all the knowledge and the loyalty for the company, I would have been behind that 150%. I would have been there, you know, working overtime and doing whatever it was to make it happen. And it's not even about the pay. It's about, you know, does it tie in with my values? If you're not getting personal satisfaction from the long hours that you're working, that's a situation that's ripe for burnout.
Okay, so how about some physical, some of the things that we can start recognizing so that people who are listening to this can say, oh yeah, I've got that, I think I understand, because we can understand the fact that we're not working in congruency with our core values, but we might do that for a short period of time, we might do that for a long period of time and not become burned out, but what are we seeing as far as physical things that are happening to us or emotional that then we can kind of check and say, oh yeah, you know what, I'm definitely, you know, on my way or bordering on burnout is how you said that.
Right. So one of the symptoms that I experienced, and I hear this a lot, is, you know, waking up every morning dreading going to work, dreading going to that desk. It's like you'd do anything just to stay in bed or, you know, not have to go in. But even really wanting to stay in bed under the covers, like it's just you can't face the world. So that's a huge red flag right there when you don't even want to get up in the morning because you don't want to think about what you have to face. Big red flag right there. You might notice some physical symptoms such as headaches, colds. You know, your immune system becomes compromised and you're getting sick all the time. Things like that. You might want to sort of withdraw from being around people. People ask you about, you know, your work, your job, and you don't want to talk about it. You don't even want to think about it. So there's, you know, some of that kind of pulling back and wanting to just hide and be alone. So someone that's normally very social and extroverted might suddenly feel like they just want to, you know, be an introvert.
Right. Wow. That would be a horrible way to spend your days, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get a little deeper into what burnout is doing for people and what, you know, so we're working long days at something that we absolutely are not in alignment with. How does the topic of money fit into what burnout is? Like, obviously, if we're burning out, but we're working 60 hours a week and we're getting paid overtime, maybe money's really good for us.
Sure, but as we all know, money can't buy happiness, but it touches everything that does, right? So you can't buy the happiness, but if you're making good money, you might be able to give to a charity that, you know, and that makes you feel really good. Or you might be able to do things with your family, and that feels really good. So it's kind of a bit of a balancing act, because if you're working against your values, but you're making a ton of money, number one, you've got to, you know, look at, okay, I'm working so many hours, am I actually able to enjoy the money that I'm making? Or is this in conflict with another one of my values? So, for instance, spending quality time with my family. If you're making lots of money, it doesn't matter if you then have no time left to spend with your family. So that's where you have to look at, okay, what's more important in my core values? Is the money more important? Or is the quality time with my family more important? And obviously there's got to be a balance, but you've got to make sure that you're prioritizing your most important values appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Do you have, just quickly a little off topic here, do you have a couple of suggestions on how people can identify what their core values are?
Well, I love this little exercise when one of my mentors gave it to me, and she said, you know, really quickly, imagine that you only have 6 months to live, and, you know, you want to make a list of all the things that you want to get done before you die in 6 months, and just do it really quickly, you know, and you start to think of, you know, some of the obvious things come up right away, you know, pay off my dad, make sure that there's insurance in place for my family, so on and so forth. And then you start to get deeper and you realize, oh man, I've always wanted to go see the Great Wall of China. I want to do that before I die. Or I have always wanted to take my kids to Disney World. I want to do that. So once you write those things down, you'll start to notice there's a theme. You know, maybe the theme is travel. Maybe the theme is spending quality time in different ways with your family. And when you look at that list from a different perspective, from that perspective, looking for the themes, you'll start to see some things that are popping out. You know, maybe it's education. Maybe it's making amends with people that, you know, you've had some sort of a rift or a disagreement with. So when you look at that list, you'll start to see a pattern. Then the next question to ask yourself is, okay, you know, the doctors were wrong. You're not really going to die in 6 months, and now they've awarded you this, you know, $10 million lawsuit settlement because of their misdiagnosis. What would you do with that? So again, some obvious things come up: pay off the mortgage, buy a new car, you know, stuff like that. But then you start to think of the things that are really meaningful to you. You know, maybe to create a foundation to help, you know, children with autism, or you know, set up a shelter for all the homeless cats in your city. So you start again to notice the patterns. What are the patterns there that are coming up for you when you have the permission to spend, in your imagination, this $10 million? And that, again, those are clues towards what your core values really are. It was a really interesting exercise when I did it a number of years ago.
I love those, and I think we've all had those kind of questions asked to us, and usually we just take it to the first level where we start making the list and recognizing what it is that we're working towards, but I've never heard of it actually looking for the themes within it so that you can figure out what your core values are, which is phenomenal. So let's assume then we've got some themes in our 6 months to live that are around our family and our education and whatnot. And obviously if we're working 60 to 80 hours a week and we're burned out and we're making good money, we're not spending time with our families or getting better educations or whatever that might mean.
Mm-hmm.
We can probably afford to do it. We just can't afford the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the solution then? Like, what are the things that we can do to, and if you're working for someone, they say, I'm sorry, you have to work 60 to 80 hours a week, or if you're obviously in your own business, like we're working with business owners, you're in your own business, and you say to yourself, I have to work 60 to 80 hours a week just to make ends meet. So what
right.
is the solution around this then?
Right. Well, you know, that mindset that you just said right there, you have to work 60 to 80 hours just to make ends meet, that there's a lot of anxiety, whether you're working for someone else or more specifically, I think, for entrepreneurs that are working for themselves around having or making enough money. And that can seriously undermine the work that you're doing in your business or your profession, and it creates that downward spiral into burnout. Women in particular have an anxiety about being poor, and they've labeled it bag lady syndrome. And years ago, I heard that even some of the most successful women have had challenge with bag lady syndrome. People like Oprah, even with all her money, have this fear. It's an irrational fear, but they have this fear that they're going to end up on the street somehow. So there's credibility in that when you say, gosh, you know, I really feel like I'm going to end up on the street. You're not alone. It's actually quite common. So the solution that I like to help my clients create is to create an abundance mindset. By the law of attraction, by your reticular activating system, and I'll talk about that in a second, what you focus on, you get more of. So in other words, we magnify what we focus our attention on. So the law of attraction says that all the thoughts in your head have a specific frequency, and you're sending that out like sound waves or microwaves. You're sending that frequency out into the universe, and things that vibrate on the same frequency are then attracted to you. Have you ever seen a 12-string guitar, Barb?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so a 12-string guitar, it's similar to a 6-string, it just has 2 strings of each chord. And if you pluck one of the C strings, the other C string right beside it will start to vibrate. So things that are the same frequency vibrate together. Same thing happens with a tuning fork. If you hit a tuning fork and it starts to vibrate, anything else in the vicinity that is the same frequency will also vibrate. So that's how that works. The same thing happens with the law of attraction. When you're thinking thoughts of lack and worry and, you know, not enough, then you're going to be drawing to you those things in your life that reinforce that thought of lack or not enough. The reticular activating system, every one of us has experienced this before. If you've ever bought a new car or if you've ever been pregnant, you know, I remember this happening when I was pregnant with my first child. I didn't know anybody else who was pregnant, and then all of a sudden I found myself pregnant, and I walked out of the doctor's office, and it was like instantly, all of a sudden, there were hundreds of women around that were pregnant. You know, where were they yesterday? I just didn't see them because that filter had not turned on in my brain. So it's the same thing when you buy a car in a specific color. You buy it because you think nobody else has this color of car, and then you drive off the lot, and it's all you see. It's not that they weren't there before. It's that your brain didn't see them. You didn't, you know, we take in so much information, way more information than we can process through all of our senses, actually. And so in order to protect us, our brain has this thing that filters out information that's not relevant to us in that moment. So when you focus on something, or when it becomes front and center in your mind, all of a sudden you see lots of other things in your environment that match that. So the same thing can happen for positive as it can for negative. And when you're, you know, worried or anxious or you're focusing on lack, then all of a sudden you will see all the evidence that supports that, and it continues that downward spiral. So what we magnify, or what we focus on, we magnify. So turn it around. Instead of focusing on what your problem is, for instance, I have too many bills to pay, focus on what or where you want to be. So you might instead turn around and think the thought, I have all the money I need to pay all my bills easily. And now, at first, that's going to maybe feel like a lie, but that's okay, because we can use our brain as a tool rather than let our brain control us. So when you say something that, you know, in part of your brain you know, well, that's not presently true, so it is a little bit of a lie, it's okay, because what you're doing is you're reprogramming your brain so that you will now see those things around you that match the frequency of that thought. I have all the money I need to pay all my bills easily.
Okay. So would you recommend that people are writing this down, that they're reading it, that there's affirmations? Like, what is the easiest way to come to this statement every day? Because obviously if we just think about it, chances are we're going to forget to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are a number of things that you can do. In fact, that's one of the things that I coach my clients through, is to develop that and then make it part of their daily practice. So you want to be really clear on what it is that you're working on, because you can't do everything all at once. You know, the whole, you can have it all, it's kind of a little bit of a lie. You can have it all, just not all at once, right? You can't go to the beach and go to the mountains at the same time. So pick what you're going to be working on right now. What's most important to you? What do you have the most challenge with right now that you want to shift? And, you know, think about what is it that you want instead. What's important about that for you, and what is it that you want instead? And when you can visualize what that is, and some people have a bit of a challenge with this visualization, but really it's just thinking about all the details of what that would look like if it were to come true, if it were to be reality right now. So let's go back to, you know, having too many bills to pay, and said, switching it to, I have all the money I need to pay all my bills easily. So what would that look and feel like? Create that picture in your head in great detail, and you might need to spend a little bit of time at first to do this, but create what that looks and feels like. What do you hear? What do you see? Maybe what do you smell? You know, maybe you're smelling fresh flowers on your kitchen table because you have all the money you need to pay the bills. Now you could also go out and buy flowers. So really picture in your mind, using as many senses as you possibly can, what that would look like, and create that little mini movie in your head. And then create what we call an affirmation, which is a statement in the present tense that describes that. Make sure it includes some sort of a feeling word. So, I am so grateful to have all the money I need to pay my bills easily. And then we associate that affirmation with the picture that we've created in our heads, that visualization, so that whenever you say that affirmation, you picture that little movie that you created. And it takes a little bit of time at first, but once you have it in your head, you'll be able to say it, and that image will come to you instantly. And then the important thing is to make sure that you're using that affirmation and saying it a number of times a day. But you have to make sure that there's some strong emotion with it when you say it. If you don't feel any really great emotion when you're saying an affirmation, you haven't got the right affirmation. Or what you're going for isn't really as important to you as you thought it was. You know?
Right.
And always
That's
make sure
a really
that
good point.
Yeah. Always make sure that you're stating things in the positive, right? Because your mind doesn't understand the word not. When you think of not being in debt, what do you think of?
Being in debt.
Yeah, exactly. Because your brain can't process the word not in pictures.
Right.
So So you have to think of, you know, having all the money you need to pay bills easily. That's not being in debt. That's the opposite of being in debt, but it's not using the word not. So make sure that you're stating it positively and with lots of emotion that, you know, makes it feel really good. You want to have a little, you know, kind of bliss out session every time that you use that affirmation.
I love the thought that if you have this affirmation that you've written out, and I don't think this is something that is easy to do the first few times you do it, because I remember writing affirmations probably 9 or 10 years ago thinking, you know, this feels silly. Not that it doesn't feel silly, but it just didn't resonate with me because there was no strong emotion tied to it.
Yeah.
It was more of a want and a hope and a wish as opposed to a reality, right?
Right.
So I love that, bringing that strong emotion and really feeling tied to the outcome, and of course the positive words. I mean, again, that takes a lot of learning to bring that into your language, not just into your affirmation, but your day-to-day language as well. Because I would say generally I have a very positive way of speaking, but I still find myself on occasions using the not words or the and it's hard to take that out of our language because we see it everywhere. It's on our news, it's in our schools, and it's used constantly. So we're just modeling or mirroring what we see as it is, and getting out of that is another challenge, of course.
Absolutely. And the barometer for, you know, whether you're on the right track with that or not is always, how do you feel? And that's why it's so important to get clear on your values, what really makes your heart sing. And then focus on that and what's important to you, not what's important to everybody else, not what your mother-in-law said that you should be doing, not what, you know, the news is telling you that you should be doing, but what makes your heart sing, what makes you feel good, because your own barometer is your feelings. How do you feel about something? If you say an affirmation and there's no little flutter in your stomach, there's no emotional response, there's no, oh God, yeah, I can totally picture that, it would make me so happy. If there's none of that, then it's probably someone else's dream. It's probably someone else's goal, not yours.
Yeah.
So the feeling is a really, really good barometer. And, you know, some people are challenged by that because they've never given themselves permission to feel really good about something, especially women. I find we're raised to be nice to everybody else and look after everybody else, and we often come last. And so that's why it's really good to work with someone so that you can have a conversation and, you know, get to the core of, so what's really important about this to you? You know, what does that mean? And that's the kind of path that I would take my clients on, you know, when they tell me, well, I want this, and we would have a bit of a back and forth conversation where I would say, well, what's important about that, and what's important about that, and what's important about that, until we get right down to the core of what it is, deep down, right?
Right. So you have here, you've given me like 4 tips about the abundance mindset, so why don't we go through some of these tips that you have? Because I think looking at them, we've talked a little bit about the values, but I think there's some really good pieces in here that will be of great value to everybody listening.
Yeah, absolutely. So tip number one, just get really clear on your values. Take the time to figure out what really matters to you. There's a number of ways to do this. I gave you that little exercise just a moment ago. And you can also do the passion test. It's a really great book by... the name escapes me right now, Janet Atwood.
Yes, right.
The passion test. You can also, you know, Google life purpose exercise. I'm sure you can find some life purpose exercises on the internet where you're just trying to figure out, you know, what is it that you feel you're here for? What is it that really excites you? And ask yourself some, you know, thought-provoking questions. Like I mentioned before, if you only had 6 months to live, what would you want to make sure you did before you died? If you had all the money you needed to do anything you really wanted, what would that be? And the biggest one that I love is, if you knew you could not fail, what would you be brave enough to do? That's a big one. Big question right there. If you knew you could not fail, what would you be brave enough to do. And then once you have all your answers and you look for the patterns, ask yourself, why is that important to me? And the answers to all those questions will give you the clues as to what really matters to you. And then you can examine where in your life, your career, or your profession, you might be out of alignment with what matters to you the most.
Yeah, that's really good, because just being able to go back and evaluate, and we don't have these skills. We're not this is certainly not things that you're taught in school. And you go into start a business, and even if you get training in, you know, how to start a business, is all the how do you do the bookkeeping and how do you, you know, register your business, but you don't learn how to really connect with what you need to be doing in your business. And I find that a lot of people, my clients and yours, I'm quite as sure, is that they're so out of alignment with who they are when they're doing their business that it becomes really hard for them to grow a business and become more
right.
successful.
And then their marketing comes out really inauthentic, because it's not coming from a place that really matters to them. They're trying to copycat what someone else has done or what someone has told them that they should be doing, as opposed to coming from a place of, you know, why they believe in this so deeply. And that's what people want. They want to know who you are, what you stand for, and whether or not there's someone that they can trust. And when you get deep into your own values and you get clear in articulating those, then, you know, law of attraction, you start to resonate with those people who identify with what you believe in.
That's true. That's so true. Okay, so tip number two.
Tip number two is to track every penny that comes to you. Money is energy. Money has its own energy. And money loves attention. So you want to pay attention to all the money coming in to you every single day and track it every single day. So whether that's your paycheck or a tax rebate, or maybe you're getting spousal support, or you rent out your basement or another property and someone's paying you rent, or even a quarter you found on the ground. Track every single bit of money that comes into you every single day. And what I've done, because I'm a tactile person and I like things that are pretty and feel good, I bought a notebook, has a really nice feeling cover, and it's just filled with lined paper. But every month I write the numbers 1 to 31, or however many days there are in the month, down the left-hand side of the page. And every night, at the end of the day, I put in the amount of money that came to me that day from all sources. And then on the right-hand side, I keep a running total so that I can see for the month how much has come in. And you would be amazed at how much that affects the money coming into you. At the very top of the page, I write my goal for the month, whatever that might be. And, you know, and then I watch the money just grow and grow and grow. And it almost gets to be a little bit of a game towards the end of the month. You know, maybe you're just within a few hundred dollars of your goal, and then you get creative. It's like, oh, I'm almost there. How can I make that extra bit of money show up? You know, so you might get on the phone and call a client that you would have otherwise waited until next week to call, just because you're trying to generate that little bit of extra income to meet your goals. So it's kind of fun. And it definitely does do wonders to increase the amount of money that's coming to you.
Wow, I love this exercise. And one of the reasons why I really love it is because it's not a balance sheet, which is what we're usually looking at. We're looking at what's coming in and what's going out. And it changes, like you said, it changes the energy of your money. So if you have a month where you had a lot of expenses, and they may all be required expenses, and it's not a bad month, and you could have actually made more money than you have ever made before, but it comes up as a negative number, you're going to have a different feeling around your money and your value and your success than you would if you were just checking on what it is that you're bringing in and keeping track of that.
Exactly.
Beautiful. All right, so what is our tip number three then?
So the third tip is to write a better story. So a great little story to back this up. A good friend of mine years ago was going through a really tough period in her life. She was separating from her husband. She had a small child, a son, and she had a business of her own, but it wasn't making a whole lot of money. She was doing okay, and she was really quite concerned. you know, how was she going to support herself and her son, and what was that going to look like, and she didn't want to move him too far away from his school, and, you know, all the things that that were coming up for her. And many people in that situation would start to shut down and get really, really scared. I know I went through, you know, huge fear around money when I separated from my husband, and for a while it really crippled me, it really paralyzed me. So, but what she did is she would write down, every time she had a thought like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm ever going to support my son, she would turn it around and she would say something like, wouldn't it be nice if I could find a place really close to his school that I could afford? Or I would love to have a condo with two bedrooms that I could call my own. Or, you know, whatever it was, whatever the opposite was, when she started to get into the worry and the fear, she would think, okay, stop. What's the opposite of this? What is it that I want? Rather than focusing on what I don't want, what is it that I do want? And she used to just write these thoughts down on, like, a, you know, scrap piece of paper or a napkin or a post-it note or the back of an envelope. She would just, whenever she had that thought, she would write it down because there's energy in writing it. And then she was going to go away on a retreat with her Reiki master, and the theme of the retreat was writing a better story, and everyone was encouraged to bring a notebook or a journal. And so she went out and she bought a cute little notebook, and she decided she was going to bring, she had saved all these little scraps of paper, and she was going to bring all of them with her on this retreat and transfer them all from the scraps of bits of paper in this file folder into this pretty little notebook that she purchased. And so she took everything with her to the retreat. And by the time she went to sit down and actually write everything over, she was noticing that about half of all the things that she had written down had actually already come true. So, you know, it was amazing. She was just blown away by it. She just had written these things down that she wanted and given them energy, positive energy, and all of a sudden, they, you know, she was aware that a lot of them had already come true. So I recommend that you carry around a small, purse-sized notebook or journal, something that you can easily carry with you wherever you go. And every time you have a thought about something that you don't want, write down in your book what you would want instead. So, you know, for instance, if you're afraid that you're not going to have enough clients, what would you like instead? Well, I'd like to have, you know, 12 one-on-one clients this month, or I'd like to, you know, have a group workshop with 50 participants. You know, think about what it is that you do want. And if it feels like lying, or if it feels a bit of a stretch, you can, you know, massage the words a little bit so that you feel a little less like you're cheating when you're writing this down. So if, you know, saying I would like is a stretch for you at this point in time, you can use words like, wouldn't it be nice if, or I wonder if there's a way that, so that you could at least start shifting your thoughts towards a more positive outcome. Because the more time you spend even just wondering and wishing, the less time you're going to spend thinking the negative thoughts and attracting more negative stuff. So anything or any way that will get you thinking of the possibilities instead of the limitations is a great way to approach this little exercise.
Awesome. I love it. I like the little idea of having the notebook too, and then using it not just to write down what you're thinking about, but to the opposite of the negative. Because, boy, I don't know about you, but if you ever had a client who constantly, you know, I always get this person who does this, or how come I'm the person who always gets the client to wah, 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 wah. And yet it's because that's what they're always talking about. Again, back to that, if you're saying it, you're attracting it because that's what resonates with it, with who you are, right? So yeah, interesting. I love that little exercise as well. You've got some really great tips and some fun exercises that I'm quite sure would be very, very valuable and effective. Tip number four, Suzanne.
Tip number four is to practice gratitude.
Yeah, I love
so
that.
So important. You know, we take for granted so many things in our lives. My daughter, She's just finishing her, well, she's just finished her first year of university, and she's going to be going to Cambodia to help a family build a home that won't get washed away by the monsoons. I mean, can you imagine if your house, every time it rained really hard, your house got washed away? So she's going over there to help a family build a home that actually has a foundation with concrete blocks. We take for granted that we have beds to sleep in every night. We take for granted that we can walk into the bathroom and turn on the tap and have hot water accessible to us at any time. So, you know, there's so many things that you have to be grateful for, even if you are in, you know, a difficult financial situation or, you know, whatever is going on in your life. There are so many things to be grateful for. So be grateful for all that you do have. And again, you know, focusing on the good things will bring more of those good things to you. So I recommend that you start every day with gratitude. So you make a list of at least 5 things that you're grateful for every morning. And, it might just be that you woke up on the right side of the grass today. Right? I mean, really, literally. You know, if you woke up, that's something to be grateful for. You know, you have that water, you can go brush your teeth. Like, even, there's so many things. So 5 things that you're grateful for every morning. And they may be the same 5 things. If you're really stuck, so what? As long as you're getting into the vibration of gratitude and feeling gratitude for what you do have, because the universe won't bring you more unless you're grateful for what you do have already. Right?
Awesome. Yeah, I agree.
It's like serving somebody up some supper, and they're not, you know, they're not telling you that they really like it. Why would you give them seconds?
Yeah. or offer to make it for them again, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So be grateful even as you pay your bills for the services that you've received. Because you know what? If you are paying that bill, it means you have the money in the bank account to pay for them. So be grateful. Be grateful for the ability to pay a bill. There's always, always something to be grateful for. And if you focus on that, and then more to be grateful for will come to you.
Right. Wow, this is great information and lots of great exercises. So Suzanne, let's tie this back to burnout then. So at the beginning we were talking about burnout being, in conflict with our core values.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a, you know, bordering on burnout or if we're in full burnout and everything. And it's a contrast, in contrast to our values, our capacity and our tirelessness, ability to work in gratitude if we're happy about it. So how can we tie this back to burnout, the things that you've taught us?
So, again, going back to the values, when you're in gratitude and appreciation and alignment with what's really important to you, you're going to have more energy to work on those things. You're going to feel more fulfilled because it's in alignment with who you really are and what you believe in. And have you ever noticed that when you're doing something you absolutely love, you kind of lose track of time, you never get tired, you just keep going and going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot.
So,
I do that a lot.
Yeah. So that's when you are in alignment with your values. And you don't burn out when you're in alignment like that. So, I mean, yes, there's still some, you know, balance there. You want to make sure that you're getting balance and spending time with family and, you know, looking at all of your values, not just one set of values. But to stay out of burnout, you want to make sure that you're doing activities that are in alignment with who you really are, what's really important to you. And when you're writing a better story, you're reinforcing that. When you're practicing gratitude, you're reinforcing that. When you're getting clear on what your values are, you're reinforcing that. So it's kind of like collateral. You know, we think of, you know, when we start out building a business, we need the financial collateral, right? We need the finances to carry us through when we're starting out in business because there's lots of expenses and you don't have a lot of revenue to start out with. Well, it works the same with emotional collateral. You need that need that emotional kind of a bank account, if you will, to carry through the tough times when, you know, you're questioning, did I do the right thing? Is this going to work out? You know, you're not getting some great feedback from some people who don't have a lot of faith in you. So to have that emotional collateral, to really be clear on why you're doing what you're doing, to be looking at the money that is coming in, to be creating this image, this vision of the life that you would like to have, to practice gratitude for all the good things that are happening, that helps you to build that emotional bank account so that when you have to take a draw on that, there's actually something there, right? When you have a challenging situation, maybe, you know, you get a client that really wasn't a good match and they give you, you know, they discontinue their services with you and give you a nasty letter to end, you know, the conversation or the relationship. And if you don't have that emotional collateral built up, that's going to really throw you for a loop. That could put you right out of business. Right?
It could, yeah.
So yeah. If you have all that emotional collateral, you're less likely to burn out. You're more likely to be able to carry on even when times get tough. And you're going to have that energy and the drive to keep going.
Awesome. Awesome. Wow, that's phenomenal. Thank you very much for sharing that with us, Suzanne.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
So now, I know that you have set up something special for the people who are listening to this recording. So why don't you tell us about how they can get some more great tips from you?
Yeah, so I've got a special webpage that I've set up just for the callers. It's on my website, so if you go to www.collectiveherd.com/abundantmindset.htm, that will have a download for you there that has more of the tips that some of the ones that I covered today, plus more that you can use to create a really great abundance mindset.
Awesome. Well, Suzanne, thank you very much for bringing your insights and your amazing topic and information on that topic and sharing what you've learned and how to put it into place. It was really great chatting with you.
My pleasure. And if even one tiny little bit of this has helped someone, that is the whole reason why I'm here.
Awesome. For all of you, a reminder that some incredible people coming to talk to you and bring their expertise to help you grow your business and grow your life. Because obviously working in your business all the time isn't all it's made up to be if you don't have that to share into the life that you really want, as Suzanne has so gracefully pointed out for us today. All right, everyone, have a fantastic month, and we will see you on the Expert Call next month. And thank you again, Suzanne, for joining us. This has been the Power of Leadership Expert Call for May 2013. Take care.